Maseches Trumas, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin. It's going to be taught in Perek Tes later on that if someone by accident plants Truma produce, so he has to plow up the soil in order that the seeds will not grow. And if he did not plow it up and plants grow from what he planted of Truma, then the new produce is going to be considered Truma. So in here, in Mishnah Zayin, the Mishnah discusses a similar case to what we've been talking about the last previous Mishnayos, about two boxes of produce. One is Truma, one is not Truma. It's Chulin, and he doesn't know which one's which. So we have Suffolk over here, Suffolk Truma. So the Mishnah discusses what would be if he planted them. Is it going to be like regular Truma that he has to plow it up and destroy it or not? So the Mishnah says, Zara es achas man putter. If he plants one of the boxes, that it's Suffolk, it's possibility if it's either Truma or Chulin. If he planted one of them putter, he's exempt from plowing it up. It's only a Chimadur Abundan to plow it up, and he's exempt from that. Because it's only a Suffolk. Vashnia Naig Bakitruma, the second box that he didn't plant yet, he should be Machmer and treat it as if that one is the Truma one, and treat it with all the stringencies of Truma. However, Vichayevis Bechala, Devi Reb Meir, Reb Meir is of the opinion that it's still obligated in Chala, even though Truma is not obligated in Chala, but this is, because of the potential that it's Chulin. Reb Yasi Peter, Reb Yasi says that we treat it's Putter, it's exempt from Chala, because he takes this Suffolk Truma and he treats it like Meduma. A Meduma is a mixture where Truma fell into Chulin, and this is similar to that, and he treats it like that. That's Putter from Chala. Zara Acher is a Shnia Putter. If a second person planted the second box of produce, he planted it. So now both boxes are planted by two different people. So he's also putter, he's exempt. Each one can rely on the fact that it was only a Suffolk, what they planted if it was Truma, and they're not obligated to plow it up. However, Zara Echad Ashtayim, if one person plants both boxes, so now he definitely has between the two boxes of produce that he planted, Truma that he planted over here. So then the halacha is as follows. He treats it like Meduma that would be planted. And the halachas for that is, Bidavar Shazari Kala, with a type of species of produce that the seed is destroyed in the ground as it grows, the seed decomposes, such as wheat or barley, that the seed decomposes when it grows, so then mutter, then a non-kayan can benefit, can eat from the produce grown here, because the original produce has decomposed and it's just a new plant. However, Bidavar Shain Zari Kala, but other types of species produce that the seed does not decompose, such as garlic or onions, these bulbs, they remain under the ground whole. So then usher is forbidden for the new produce grown from it to be eaten by a non-kayim. Parak Ches Mishnah Aleph. Besides for a kayin being allowed to eat truma, his wife is also allowed, even if she is the daughter of Yisrael, but by marrying a kain, she's allowed to eat from Truma, as well as his slaves, Avadim Ketanim, that are property of a kain, they are also allowed to eat from Truma. The Mishnah discusses these people, if they became aware that they lost their ability to eat Truma, what should they do? Ha'isha Shahaisa Echalas B'Truma. If there was a woman who was married to a kain who was eating Truma, and she was allowed to eat Truma, but then Bo V'Amrla, people came and told her, Meis Bailech, your husband died. So she's no longer married to a kain. Ay gershich, or she's told that her husband has divorced her. And so she's not married to a kain anymore, and she's not allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara is going to list several cases that are similar to this before saying the halacha in all cases. So in such a case where the woman found she's no longer allowed to eat truma, mechein ha'eved, shahaya eichel b'truma, a slave, a'eved kanani, a slave of a kain, who was eating truma, ubov amrlei, and they came and told him, meis rabich, your master died, and this is a case where he's not, where he there was no sons. If there were sons, the sons would be kainim too, and then he would be inherited by a kain. He would still be kain property. But over here, he didn't have sons, and the inheritor was a Yisrael. For example, if it was a daughter that was married to Yisrael, who inherited him, ay mecharcha leYisrael, or a different case where he's told that his master sold him to Yisrael. Or he was told that his master gave him away as a matana, a gift to another Yisrael. Or that he was told his master made him free. In all these cases, he's no longer allowed to eat truma. And another case, v'chein kain shaya echel b'truma, a kain who was eating truma, v'naida, and it became known, shu ben grusha ben chalutza, that he was the son of a grusha, a divorced woman. That means his father, a kain, married a divorced woman, which is aser, it's forbidden. I ben chalutza, or he was the son of a woman that performed chalitza to yavam. And this is also a woman that's aser for a kain to marry. And this marriage of his parents, a kain, to these women that were forbidden to him, makes him a disqualified kain. He becomes a chalal, disqualified. So in short, this kain found out that he was really disqualified from eating truma because of his parents' forbidden marriage. He's a chalal. So in all these cases of all these people that found out they weren't supposed to be eating truma, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev karen mechaymish. Rabbi Eliezer, he's mechayev, he obligates these people to pay karen, the principal, and a chaymish, an extra fifth, just like any non-kain that eats truma b'shegig, by accident, has to pay this karen b'chaymish. So these people similarly also have to do the same thing. Rabbi Yeshua exempts them from paying anything. He looks at it as an einus, something that was beyond their control, and he exempts them. The Rav brings that the Gemara in Masechtas Pesachim really explains that Rabbi Yeshua is talking about a specific limited case. In most cases, it wouldn't be considered einus. They would be obligated to clarify their ability to eat truma before eating it. But over here, it's talking about a case where it was Erev Pesach, and they were eating truma that was chametz, that it was time-sensitive. If they didn't eat it before the time of burning chametz, then the truma would need to be destroyed. And we don't want to destroy truma. We're not allowed to destroy truma. So they're coming to eat it to prevent it from being destroyed. And it was time-sensitive, so they were rushed, and they didn't have the opportunity to check and make sure that they still were allowed to eat truma at that time. But otherwise, Rabbi Yeshua would also agree that they shouldn't just eat it without checking into their ability to eat it first, and they would be obligated to pay in most situations. The Mishnah now says a different case also, that there's a machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. If there was a kain that was standing and he was doing the avodah, he was being makrev, bringing karbanis on the mizbeach, v'naida shu ben grusha ben chalutza, and it became known that he was the son of a grusha, a divorced woman, or a ben chalutza, a woman that did chalitza, and therefore he's invalidated, he's a chal, he's invalidated from doing the avodah. Rabbi Eliezer says, kol karbanis shehekrev agabli mizbeach psulim. All the karbanis that he brought on the mizbeach are pasul, they're invalid, since he was not an eligible kain. Rabbi Yeshua says that they are kasher. And the Rav brings a pasuk for this, because the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Chelei Upayal Yadav Tirtze. And he learns that the Chelei is referring to a chalal, that even when he's a chalal, still, Payal Yadav, his handiwork is Tirtze, is acceptable. So that's Rabbi Yeshua's drasha that says that if he found out he was a chalal, invalid kain, still, his handiwork that he did in the past is acceptable. However, the Mishnah says, Neidishu Balmum, if he became known that he was Balmum, he had a blemish, a physical defect that disqualified him from doing the Avodah, Avodah Sapsula, then all agree, his Avodah is Pasul. The Rav again brings a Pasuk over here. The Pasuk says, as Brisi Shalem, that he needs to be Shalem, he needs to be complete in order to be able to do the Avodah, and here he's invalid, and his Avodah is Pasul.